Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown!
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! The Bills win it in overtime.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Buffalo Bills training camp. I'm John Murphy. Chris Brown is in for Steve Tasker. We're here until 3 o'clock today. We're joined by NFL reporter for USA Today, Lorenzo Reyes. Lorenzo, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You got to look at the Buffalo Bills in camp today. What'd you think? Give me your overall impressions.
You know, the biggest storylines for me, I think, were the quarterbacks, obviously. And with Tremaine Edmonds, I wanted to see how such a young player is going to be counted on to really direct the defense. And obviously, there's some coaching changes that have happened. I also wanted to see Brian Daboll's offense up close and just sort of get the sort of a feel. And it's hard to do that in training camp, but you know, I think there are a lot of good pieces here that really the AFC East, everyone thinks it's the Patriots, but I don't know. I mean, they've had some issues, so it's really wide open. And I think there are some pieces here where the Bills can compete.
Brian Daboll's offense happens to be kind of the topic of our show today because we're trying to figure out what it's all about. We had some evidence from Thursday's preseason game last Thursday against Carolina, but it's hard to figure what he's going to do with his experience in the NFL. And Chris and I were talking in the last hour about his 1 year at Alabama. Most of the time, coaches who come from the college ranks bring along some of those concepts. I anticipate we'll see some of that with Brian Daboll.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, obviously, it's going to depend on whom is the starting quarterback.
Right.
But with that said, I think you're absolutely right, John. I think he's not going to be shy about being innovative and implementing different things. And let's not forget, LeSean McCoy is obviously a huge part of this offense. And it's almost like he's flying under the radar and people aren't talking about him because everyone's focused on the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. But I think that versatility and his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, they were working on screen plays today, for example. I think that's going to be a big, big part.
Yeah, there have been a ton of swing passes, a ton of screen plays, a ton of back split out wide. I mean, I think LeSean could flirt with maybe his highest catch total in a single season in his career this year if Daboll continues along that road. Question for you, though, about the quarterbacks. We see Josh Allen rotate up. He's going exclusively with the second-team offense today. That's a deviation from what we've normally seen, which is Peterman and McCarron flip-flopping between the ones and twos every day, Allen getting most of his work with the threes. Today was the first day someone other than Josh Allen took reps with the third-string unit, and it was the first time Josh was exclusively with the twos. We're all trying to surmise what that means. Right. Does that mean that Josh will probably be with the twos on Friday in Cleveland, or is he right back with the threes? I don't know if you want to give your take on it, but what do you think it means?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think a lot of it is to give him that added responsibility to see how he responds. Mm-hmm. Because if he, let's say hypothetically, they would have given him those reps and he really would have struggled, then I think that's a bad sign. But the fact that he was in there and he moved the team a little bit, he made some nice back shoulder throws. He did miss a few receivers, mm-hmm. but granted, I mean, he's still a rookie who's learning his way, so that's to be expected. I do think that we're at the point in camp where he knows the offense. He should at least know most of the offense. Mm-hmm. It's on him to take those next steps. And if you're not getting those reps with some of the second stringers, it's hard to really
advance
yeah. because, and you know, it's not a shot against third stringers, but the quality of play is obviously higher. So
sure.
I think that's very much a clear indication that they want to see how he responds to the higher level competition. And, you know, it's also something that could boost his confidence too.
Yeah.
Because if you're a first round pick and you're just playing with a third string all the time in practice, it could be tough for a lot of players.
You might lose interest here.
Absolutely. So I think it's there are a couple of factors at play, but I agree with you, Chris. I think the game against Cleveland coming up, that I think is going to be a very, very good indication of where he really sits on the depth chart.
Yeah.
I want McDermott to start him this Friday. And I think I really do.
Yeah.
Because let him play one, with ones and against ones. Let's see. Let's get a real true evaluation of Josh Allen. I'd like to see him start him on Friday.
Yeah, not only that, but Cleveland's going to be bringing their guys too. So yeah. It's going to be, if that were to happen, that would be a great test, obviously. But, you know, it's interesting because Josh, he has all of the physical tools you want in a quarterback. It's all about the decision making, the accuracy, and the decision making when those live bullets are flying.
Sure.
Because that's you can practice against the same guys all the time, but when you go against opponents, it's a completely different game.
We're with Lorenzo Reyes, NFL reporter for USA Today. Take me back, Lorenzo, to where you were going into the draft with all of that quarterback talent, and where did you place Josh Allen among that group? Were you? I mean, the Bills made some very aggressive moves to go get him at number 7 overall, leaving a couple of guys on the board. What did you think of all that?
Yeah, I'll preface this by saying I am an NFL reporter, but I'm not a general manager, obviously. So I don't
care
that much. But, I mean,
you can play one on the radio.
Sure, yeah, that's a good part. But, I mean, I think he was in that range. We didn't do rankings or anything like that, so I can't give them. I know that I love Baker Mayfield's accuracy. That's one thing that really stands out with him. With Josh, it was just the physical tools. Sam Darnold is a quarterback that I think he also has some tools, but the throwing motion was something that concerned me. He just had that elongated motion that when you get into the NFL and you have that pass rush, it's hard. But I think Josh was very much in that top four. I think if I had to pick, oh, man, I don't know. It's hard because I'd almost like to blend a little bit of each one and put them into one package.
It was hard back in April, and it remains difficult now to sort them out. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about Baker Mayfield, who, by all accounts, had a really good day for Cleveland. You were there, right, at the game
at
the Giants at the Meadowlands. How good was he? How good can he be, do you think?
You know, it's interesting. I was there with a colleague of mine, and Baker comes in, and there was a little bit of juice, and everyone's excited to watch it, even in New York. But he looked the part. And I'm one that I sort of hesitate. I always kind of think like, oh, man, he looked good. Like, start him.
Yeah.
But I will say he at least he showed skills and traits that I think are going to translate to the NFL long term. The way he sort of felt pressure in the pocket, granted, he was a little jittery, I think, at times. But he felt that pressure, sort of that internal clock. And he was able to get out and when he was out, you know, scrambling a little bit, he always kept his eyes up, which is huge because receivers break off of their coverage, and then he was able to make some nice plays that way. He showed enough mobility, but again, my colleague that was there with me sort of had to tell me, like, hey, man, it's the first preseason.
Yeah, we all have to.
Right.
That's all we have.
But I was impressed. I think it was definitely a positive step forward.
And Tyrod played like Tyrod does, right, from all
accounts? Yeah, he was accurate. He took care of the football. He made smart decisions, wasn't taking risks, and, you know, read the defense well. It was very much a standard Tyrod performance.
I got one more question. I know Chris has some questions on this too, but why is it that Hugh Jackson is so adamant about Tyrod's our number one? Tyrod's our number one. It's almost as if they're shutting the door on any chance for Baker Mayfield. I wonder if that's smart.
You know, I think with Baker, he's a guy that when you count him out, that's when he really sort of shines. And that's what he had. That's what he had in his college career. Basically, he was always the guy behind the starters. And when he was faced with that, he really just, it motivated him and it took his play to another level. Granted, I think Hugh, in an ideal scenario, wants to keep Tyrod as a starter and maybe let Baker really assimilate and learn the game, the speed of the game. But I don't doubt that there's a little bit of that. He wants to motivate him.
A game plan.
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, that's really, when you look at Baker's career, that's what gave him that edge that made him so successful.
Now, believe it or not, most of the people in the stands for that game were not there for Baker Mayfield or for Tyrod Taylor. They were there to see Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
So, everything and more?
Yeah. So, Saquon, he had that first rush where he gets a ball, and then it's like, you know, there's kind of a mess of defensive linemen, no running holes, and he just bounces it outside with one quick cut, makes another cut, and he's gone for 39 yards.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, take him out of the game right there, just because that's
enough.
That's
and
all.
And save the legs.
Yeah,
thanks for coming, everybody.
To see, but I will say the offensive, the takeaway I had there was that the offensive line, still, they have a lot of new pieces.
Yeah.
It's still a work in progress. So I think if Saquon has a huge year, I think a lot of it might have to be him, like he did in that run, making something out of nothing. Because if the rushing lanes aren't there, you know, it's obviously for any running back, it's hard. But obviously, if Eli and Odell and right. everyone, if the passing game opens up, that can open up the rushing game. But I mean, based off of what we've seen pre-draft and then throughout camp and everything, I think Saquon is very.
I'm very curious to see what opposing defenses do against that Giants attack, because you know you have a capable tight end receiving option there. You have Beckham, so are you going to put eight in the box to stop Barkley? You know, or do you think your line can hold up against an offensive line that's still feeling its way, as you mentioned? Or are they, you know, going to take, you know, and take their chances and play single safety high with Odell Beckham outside? I mean, I don't know if I'm doing that.
That's
so
scary, yeah.
It's a pick your poison, Murph. It's going to be really interesting to see how teams defend the Giants.
Look, I think the Giants are going to be better than most people think they are. I really do. I think they'll contend for the division. Isn't that crazy?
I actually put them in the playoffs in the wild card.
Yeah, there you go.
But I also put them in the Super Bowl last year. So,
well, okay.
Hey. We all have our hits and misses.
Yeah.
Lorenzo Reyes, NFL reporter, USA Today, joining us. We're going to get to your 20 things we learned from week one of preseason. But I want one more Browns question I have. And you tweeted something about it today. Dez Bryant, is he going to visit them this week? And is there anything to be made out of that?
Yeah, that's an interesting situation there. I think there's definitely mutual interest between both sides. It sounds like Dez needed some time, and he's working toward getting his mind right and he's approaching the position where he wants to play now. I think for him, it's going to be finding the right fit.
Yeah.
And with again, John Dorsey, the Browns general manager, has been very clear that they're interested. And Dez, I think, was actually waiting for those two Browns quarterbacks to see what they could do.
Sure.
He was actually live tweeting that game.
Dez was.
Yeah, he was.
I didn't know that.
After Baker's first drive, or I think after his first touchdown pass, Dez tweeted something like, "Okay, Baker, I see you."
I think
that was very much a good.
Wow.
I think that was very much a good showing for the Browns, and now it may push that interest further.
I want to ask you about your post that you wrote for USA Today. 20 things we learned from the first week of preseason. One of the interesting things, and we'll go through this all preseason, are the rookie quarterbacks. You've talked about our guy, Josh Allen. You talked about Baker Mayfield, a little bit about Sam Darnold. What about Josh Rosen? Seemed to be like glowing reports coming out of Arizona.
Well, here's the thing with Rosen. Statistically, you look at it, it wasn't a great day, but he was playing with that second-string offensive line, and they were just getting mauled.
Yeah, shredded.
And the thing is, when you're a rookie quarterback and that's your first experience against another opponent, I was really more impressed with how he responded and the things he was doing to neutralize that pressure. He was doing a lot of quick-release passes, and he was basically getting hit and making throws, which, as we know, when you don't have great protection, that's a necessity. And I think if he eventually becomes a starter, that protection will improve. But he showed great anticipation, great pocket awareness. I think people considered him to be the most pro-ready quarterback, but of the rookie class. But I came away impressed. I think, like you said, with Josh Allen putting him in with the ones, I think they might have to do the same with Rosen, because it's just hard to really evaluate a player when he's always running for his life.
We're talking about Baker Mayfield not getting much of a chance with the Cleveland Browns, but back to Sam Darnold, it seems like the door is wide open for Darnold and the Jets, right? They're inviting him, win this job, be their number one.
He might start this week, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think of all the rookie first-round quarterbacks, if I had to pick one to start week one, it would have to be him.
That'd be a very Jetsian thing to do, too.
What are you trying to say? It'd be a mistake? He might be the best.
How
hard is it to beat out Josh McCown, really?
Yeah. I mean, but he played well for them last year, you know, when he was in there. And I guess Bridgewater played pretty well, too, though, right?
They have a good situation, too. I mean,
they might trade Bridgewater. That's the talk now, right? Find a trade partner and move him?
I mean, I think the Jets, in an ideal scenario, don't take three quarterbacks to their 53. But, I'm of the opinion that if I draft a rookie quarterback that early, I would really want him to sort of just sit for a little bit and sort of you know, learn the game as much as you can. Granted, every team is different, and actually players respond to that stuff differently too. But with Darnold, I mean, he looked good. There's no doubt about it. But the question I have with him is, are there enough offensive weapons around there where he can really sort of just be the point guard and distribute?
Yeah. I mean, he was efficient. I don't think there's any debating that. I mean, 13, 18 passing. He had 13 completions, Murph, for 96 yards. I mean, he was dinking and dunking everywhere. That's what he was doing. And that's fine if that's what the defense is going to give you. But, you know, and granted, we're going on one preseason game here, but I wasn't like, holy cow, 13. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was just kind of like, okay, they did all right. And now they're vaulting him to number one. It's like, oh all right. You know, like, I feel like it's premature. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a lot of it being the Jets.
Being the Jets, right.
So hungry for a franchise quarterback.
That's right. The Jets being the Jets.
So
Lorenzo Reyes, USA Today. You said something. You spent a lot of time around the AFC East. And I feel like in Buffalo, people who follow the Bills, we're all like hostages, you know, with Stockholm Syndrome. We can't imagine the Patriots not winning the division. You know what I mean? We've grown up that way. But you said something a minute ago about a vulnerability there. What do you see there in New England? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, they always seem to figure it out. There's no doubt. But I think this is sort of, I mean, I think we're very much seeing the down, you know, the decline, not decline, that's too strong a word, but, you know,
the beginning of the end, or
sort of the window closing a little bit. Yeah. Because okay.
They've peaked. And now
I mean, it's hard to say that they haven't. They've just been so successful, so dominant. But I think that tension between Tom Brady and some of the coaches there, and Rob Gronkowski also had his issues, and I feel like we're starting to see some of the power struggle, or the power structure might shift a little bit. With that said, I picked the Patriots to win the division. I still think they're going to go to the playoffs and probably make a nice little run.
Yeah,
but
they're chinks in the armor. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, I think if there's a
I'll
moment,
take it.
if there's a moment to go at him, I think we're starting to see that window opening up a little bit.
Lorenzo, one more issue I want to ask you about, and you wrote it in your piece about 20 things we learned, and that's the new rule on helmet hits, initiating contact, lowering the head to initiate contact. And look, I know there have been, and now I think people are kind of overreacting. There have been some controversial close calls that have been called that way. But I do believe this, in the interest of safety, I think this is important. This preseason and this rule is important. They want to change behavior. And to do that, you call penalties.
Yeah.
It happened a couple of years ago when they forced players to lower their aiming point.
Right, right.
I think we're kind of undergoing that right now with the helmet hits, and I think it's going to work eventually. We might see some questionable calls to get there, though.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's very much a necessity that has to happen, just based on the speed and the sheer, you know, violence of the game.
Yeah.
It has to happen. But with that said, I also agree that I think my understanding is that the referees were sort of told, if you have a play that you think is sort of in that gray area, throw the flag, and then we'll get as much film as we can on plays that were close, and we'll reevaluate it before the start of the regular season.
Instruct them again on this.
Right.
This was a good call. This was
so. I think that's going to very much be a part of it. It's just, I mean, you guys watch the games. It's so hard.
It's so fast.
It's such a challenge to make those judgment calls that quickly. So I think they're going to be. My point in the article was more about saying that I think the rule, whether people love it or hate it, I think it's going to be a factor in fourth quarter comebacks and the 2-minute drill. When there are big plays being made and the referee has to make a decision, is that a penalty and they'll throw the flag or not throw the flag?
Or is somebody ejected and not even in the
absolutely.
Game anymore? Like,
absolutely.
You know, you take a middle linebacker out of a starting defense and there's a 2-minute drill going on that they're trying to keep the other team out of the end zone. You throw that guy out of the game, I mean, people are going to be rioting.
Absolutely.
But they won't, I guess is my point.
You
they
don't
won't.
Think so?
No, I think they're calling it tight. Now in preseason, I think.
So you think they'll relax it a little bit?
I do. And I think they'll. Mostly it's about education, educating players. Don't lower your head to
so
initiate.
So you think
contact.
They're calling it more stringently on purpose now?
Yes.
And they'll back off
yes.
in the regular
Isn't
season.
That what you just said, Lorenzo?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's sort of the way they wanted to handle this, at least the initial phase.
Yeah.
Because I think it's still so new because, number one, if you're a defender, and it's I guess it goes for offensive players too now, But if you're a defender and you have to make a tackle, your instinct is just to lunge forward and launch that way. So I think it's almost like you're trying to break some muscle memory there, which is a lot easier said than done. So that's why I think there are going to be some growing pains for sure. I think there are going to be some plays that are going to make a few fan bases quite upset. Yeah.
One more, and this is the other major, one of the other major rule changes, kickoffs. I didn't watch every preseason game last weekend, but we didn't see much there. I saw a lot of touchbacks again. I was hoping we'd get some return work with that separation now between the return man and the coverage team.
Yeah, I think it's – my sense is that the really talented kickers who are accurate and can really pinpoint the ball where they want it to go, I think those are going to be the teams that are more aggressive in trying to pop those balls up and creating chances for – the players to rush down there. But yeah, I wonder whether the big play kickoff return is sort of being phased out. I mean I hope not. Yeah, I
get the feeling it is. It's the single blocking, Murph, that's the problem now. You gotta have guys dropping back, turning, and then finding a guy and blocking him in open field with nobody next to him to help or anything. It's one on one blocking, and I just think it's going to be tough to create the holes they need or the creases they need to get a return man off and running.
And the NFL has done plenty of studies where they've just looked at concussion rates in the kickoff versus other plays, and kickoffs are just
far and away the worst.
Yeah, just very, very, there are a lot of collisions going on.
Lorenzo, are you going to write something based on your visit to Bills camp?
I'll be writing a few things, definitely on the quarterbacks, on Tremaine Edmonds.
Do you have any news on the quarterback you can tell us? Because we don't get anything out of that.
I try my best.
Yeah, no, they're good, right? They don't give up anything.
No, they don't.
The one thing I will say is that in talking to a few of the people here, I would guess that they're going to take their time with this. I think even the third preseason game, they won't announce a starter before that. I think the third preseason game might be the time where after that film is in the books and they go and evaluate that. That, I think, is going to be the point when they decide.
Okay.
But, yeah, I tried to get a name. But
we all did. Thanks, Lorenzo. It was great to meet you. Thanks for doing
this. Thanks for having me.
Lorenzo Reyes, NFL reporter for USA Today, joining us here at Bills Camp. It's One Bills Live from Bills Training Camp on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.